Thank you. Praise team. In culture, it seems these days, we just bypass Thanksgiving, don't we? Right? Have you seen the stores? It's all Christmas. Christmas is a great holiday, isn't it? But we do not want to pass by Thanksgiving. It is so important for us as the people of God to express our gratitude for all that we have. And that's, in fact, what we're going to be talking about this morning from our passage. And so open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. You're probably used to me saying open your Bibles to Mark. We'll be back in Mark next Sunday, but today we are looking at this passage which calls us to count our blessings. It makes you think of that great hymn, doesn't it? Count your blessings. We'll talk about that in just a few seconds. Last Sunday after service, I went into my office, and there was a card, a thank you note on my desk. And it brought a smile to my face. It was addressed to Pastor Joel and Miss Diana, and here's the front of the card, thank you very much. And on the inside, it said, to Pastor and Miss Diana, thank you for the birthday dollar. I am going to buy a special drink. Love, Jaden. That brightened my day. And you get a sense from there, when I recognize a child's birthday, I like to give them a buck. I don't know, it used to mean a lot if you got a dollar. Probably one day kid's going to hand it back and say, do you have a five? Don't you think? At some point. But I want to say, way to go, Zach and Leanne. They're sitting in the back there, training young Jaden to express gratitude and thanksgiving. That is so very important. So very important for us to express gratitude and thanksgiving. And that's especially true in our relationship with God. That's especially true in our relationship with God. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about, in fact, the first three chapters, how man moved away from God. And it starts out with the failure to honor him and give thanks. Isn't that interesting? The failure to give him his proper honor and to thank him for all he has done for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you're familiar with the passage. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So there's three imperatives. You need to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks, because that's God's desire for us as the people of God and because of all we have in Christ Jesus. I mentioned the great old hymn, Count Your Blessings. And it was written by Johnson Oatman. Now, sometimes there's an interesting story with these hymns. It's not the case with this one necessarily. What is interesting about Johnson Oatman is that he penned some 5,000 hymns. Did somebody say, wow, how do you do that? About 200 a year. And it goes like this: when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it's going to surprise you what the Lord hath done. And then the refrain, would you sing that with me? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. And so this morning from Romans 5, we're going to count some of our blessings, specifically four of them that Paul gives. And my desire is to encourage us, no matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in, to be thankful people. Not because of our circumstances, good or bad, but because of the life we have in Jesus Christ. And so your Bibles are open to Romans 5. You have your notes out. And this passage unfolds very nice. I like it when it just kind of opens up and we see the progression of thought, and we'll see that with Paul. Paul writes, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And so let's get our bearings on that passage. Verse 1 summarizes the first four chapters. Verse 1 begins, therefore, having been justified by faith. And so Paul is looking back towards this idea of our justification. But that's not how he begins the book. What does he begin the book with? Sin and condemnation. There is none righteous, no, not one. You know this verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so he talks about the need for justification. Oh, until somebody understands truly their need, it's not going to result in repentance and their faith in Jesus Christ. That's the progression. So the need for justification, and then Paul gives the means of justification. And he says this in chapter 3. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, a righteousness that comes from God, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets didn't provide it. They simply pointed ahead towards it. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. And so that justification or that righteousness, that right standing with God is a result of His grace, and we receive it by faith as we put it in Jesus Christ. Oh, happy day. That should fill our hearts with thanksgiving, the realization of our brokenness and sinfulness, and that God, because of His Son, brings us into a right relationship with Himself. Oh, what a song we should have. Oh, what a song we should have. In fact, I'm on a rabbit trail here. I want to encourage you in your worship to give great expression to that song, because others are watching. I was in the back, and I saw my grandson who's here, and he was looking back at me. Your kids are watching you. Your grandkids are watching you. Give expression to this song. So it's not like, hey, I'm just going to come into worship and just kind of get by, just kind of ho-hum. No, people are watching. Your kids are watching. You're giving them an expression of the reality of your faith. Amen?
Amen.
Yep. Oh, sing that way. Ask God to give you that kind of joy. I'm not saying you have to raise your hand. I'm in the back raising my hands. I'm loving it back there. But you don't have to do that. But it shows when the joy is real, doesn't it?
Yes.
It shows. It shows. And so Paul starts out chapter 5, and he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have. And so he's going to go on and develop a number of things that we have because of our right standing with God through Jesus Christ. And we're simply going to develop four of them. And so he starts out this way. We have peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so the assumption is that apart from Christ and the justification we have in Him, the opposite is true. We are enemies of God, under His wrath, bound for judgment in hell, eternal separation. John 3, the writer says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son, he who doesn't believe in the Son, will not see life, but what? The wrath of God abides on him. And so a person without this right standing with God through Jesus Christ is under the wrath of God. And so the first blessing of our justification is that we go from being an enemy of God under his wrath to having peace with God. We are reconciled. We are adopted into his family. We have access into his presence. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The writer of Hebrews says this, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh." It's through his work on the cross, his flesh. "And since we have a great priest over the house of God." Well, what do we do? Well, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so our writer is saying that in Christ, we have confidence to enter into the holy place, into the very presence of God. And we can do it with a full assurance of faith. Why? Because our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why we can enter with confidence. That's still, I'm a great person. Have you ever seen this? Let's ask for a show of hands. Jack, you got a lot of stories, don't you? Yeah. You look in the rearview mirror and you're being pulled over by a policeman. Maybe you're not quite sure why. And the thoughts or emotions that can start running through your mind. Maybe your heart starts to race a little bit because you realize you were going 80 in a 65 zone. And maybe you got your kids in the back seat with you, so there's a sense of embarrassment. Those thoughts and feelings are the opposite of what we should be feeling in our relationship with God. Yes, we have violated his commands. That must be acknowledged. We are guilty and deserving judgment. But in Jesus Christ, there is reconciliation, a restored relationship, harmony, joy, peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's where Paul starts out. I got a t-shirt up here. I even thought of wearing it, but it would look kind of goofy, and I look goofy enough the way it is. But I got this a couple weeks ago from Melissa for pastor appreciation. And what does it say? But God. Oh, I just love that. And you find it in so many places in Scripture. This is going on. But God acts in our behalf. Amen. And that's justification. That's this peace. I was an enemy under wrath. But God spoke light into the darkness of my heart. Turned my heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And but God, I am a new person, and now I have peace with him. Is that good or what? Yeah. So we're counting our blessings. Paul's counting them for us. He says, we have been justified by faith, therefore we have peace with God. And then he says, we stand in God's grace. That's number two. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also, you see that? Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so in Christ we have peace with God, but in addition to that, we experience God's ongoing favor and grace. Because of our standing in Christ, God's grace is continually being manifested to us. Actually, the two verbs in verse 2 are perfect tense verbs, which speaks of a past action with ongoing consequences. We stand in the grace of God. It's an ongoing dynamic. So it's not just that I have peace with him, but I stand in his grace and in his favor. We just sang the song, "We Stand in Grace." Isn't that wonderful? Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Oh, the grace that has been manifested to us in Jesus Christ. And Paul there delineates one after another after another. In Romans chapter 8, Paul starts out, this is verse 29 or 30. He says, what then shall we say to these things? And what's preceded this, these things he's talking about is that he's working all things together for good. And Paul talks about our being predestined, called, justified, and glorified. And so Paul says, what can we say to these things? And it's almost as if it needs to be shouted out. If God is for us, who is against us? That's how it should be said. Not, hey, God's on my side. Actually, I should say, I'm on God's side. But God is for me. And then that declaration, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And so the idea, and I go to this verse, you talk about favorite verses, this is probably becoming this section here in Romans amongst my favorite. But if God gave his son to die for us, certainly he's going to continually, abundantly meet our needs and bring his work to completion. Amen. We stand in grace. It's not like, well, we've got a little half-inch hose that I'm somehow spraying on somebody. The vision I have is almost like a fire hydrant. We're being doused in the grace of God. We stand in his grace. Many at this church have adopted children. More than one, some. And they've gone to great effort and expense. They've been extending their grace, demonstrating their love. And we know, and we would say that those children can be confident of what? That those parents are going to continue to seek their best. Aren't they? And so it is in our relationship with God. We've been adopted into his family. We stand in his grace. And if he is for us, who can be against us? And so because of our standing in Christ, God is actively seeking our good. And I'm going to put up a prayer here that, within which Paul says, actually much more abundantly than we could ask or imagine. And that comes from where? Don't say Jack. Jack knows. Jack's been teaching us to pray these great prayers. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That's how great he is. And that he would grant you, now notice this, according to the riches of his glory. Just think about that. How glorious God is. And Paul is praying that what would happen, that he would strengthen you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you being rooted and grounded in love, you've been grounded in this love. But oh, may you be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. You're never going to wrap your arms around the love that Christ has for you as it's demonstrated. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's the desired result, the fullness of God revealed in our lives. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And so Paul praying that God's Spirit would strengthen us and establish Christ's rule and transform us into his image. Paul praying that we would grasp this love of Christ for us, which he actually says is beyond comprehension, this love which surpasses knowledge, and that it would capture our hearts and imaginations. That's the idea for the activity of the Spirit of God revealing to us the love of Christ so that our hearts are laid hold of and we'll live in light of those great realities. Hallelujah. Right? Oh, what a good thing to be praying over Thanksgiving. Father, I don't appreciate enough what you have given to me in your Son and the love expressed. Would you reveal that to me more fully? Imagine with me walking in a park and finding a $100 bill. Huh? My wife walked out of Food Lion the other day and found a billfold on the ground. And we took the money out and enjoyed a dinner out that night. She turned it into the manager. She's a godly woman. Where is she at? Back there smiling at me. She's always smiling at me. But if you found a $100 bill in a park, you were just playing it, you know what I would do? I'd look for more. Come on, wouldn't you? You're smart enough to know that if I saw one, there may be another one just a little bit down the path. Come on, wouldn't you? And I'm convinced that's how, and I'm over maybe embellishing this, but God wants us to go through life expectantly and confidently. Why? Because he is continually manifesting his grace towards us. We should get up in the morning, and I'm not saying I do this, but really say, God, I know that I'm at peace with you, and I stand in your grace. So help me today to see how your grace is further being manifested in my life. That'd be a good thing to pray. And sometimes we're very aware of it, aren't we? And other times it's happening in ways that just blow right on by us. You know. All right, you ready for a third blessing? We're counting our blessings. Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, that we stand in his grace. And then he said, we exult in hope of the glory of God. We exalt in his glory, this hope. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and I know I'm reading this probably for the third or fourth time, but it kind of helps cement it in our thoughts. We have, I've got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's even more, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Oh, and there's more. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And so Paul, pointing ahead to our future, it seems like he's been talking about our past and our justification and our present standing in God's grace, and now the future. We exult in hope of the glory of God. And the word hope used in our passage is not just expressing some sort of, I hope it happens, some sort of wish. It speaks of a confident expectation. This confident expectation, the certainty of sharing in the glory of God. Because I'm in a right relationship with him. And this grace is just abounding more and more. And one of the climaxes of the grace is going to be the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're looking forward to that, aren't we?
Yes.
Paul, writing to Titus, said this, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously and godly in the present age. And here we go, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this great hope that we have as we look into the future is the return of Jesus Christ and our being, going and being caught up to meet him. 1 Thessalonians 5, right? We're going to meet him in the air. Oh, our great hope is the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his rule in its fullness. Oh, our great hope is the transformation of this created order. Aren't you looking forward to the transformation of this created order? A new heaven and earth within which righteousness dwells, and we will get new bodies. Paul spends 1 Corinthians 15 talking so much of this resurrection and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, this future glory. Our great hope is the consummation of redemption and the summing up of all things in Jesus Christ. History is moving with purpose. It's moving towards the culmination of all things in Jesus Christ. And we've been made aware of that. Ephesians 1, Paul talks about that's one of the blessings that we have, that we know where history is going. That's a game changer. We don't have to look into the future and wonder where is it all going. We have this confidence that the sovereign hand of God is directing the affairs of mankind, and Jesus in the future is going to return. And I'm going to be a part of the glory side of that. There's a judgment side. He's going to come, as it says in Revelation, on a white horse. He's going to make war. And man's rebellion will be done. Aren't you looking forward to that?
Yes.
Aren't you looking forward to that? All right, we're counting our blessings. Right? We have peace with God. We stand in His grace. We exalt in hope of the glory to come. And then Paul, he kind of turns things here and he says, we exalt in our tribulations. Isn't that interesting? So he says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. It's kind of like, well, Paul, come on. I was all excited about this other stuff. Now you're talking about tribulations. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And so we're going to exult in our tribulations. And you've been through tribulations this past year. Yeah. But Paul tells us why. And it's because of what they accomplish. We see that tribulations, as they work in our lives, accomplish good. There's a progression, a very clear progression here that Paul gives. Paul says, tribulation brings about perseverance. So these tribulations bring about perseverance. Hupomone, hupo under, mone to remain. So this idea of our remaining under, our continuing to do right, our continuing to be people of faith. That's what tribulations do. Right? They develop our perseverance, our faith. They're like a weight machine. You know, you want to develop your body physically, you go do weights. You want to develop your body spiritually and your faith. Well, tribulations do that. And then Paul says, perseverance in turn brings about proven character. Proven character is one word, doikame. It speaks of something that is tested and found to be the real deal. Tested and found to be the real deal. And so the progression is this. As we persevere in our tribulations and we live by faith and do right, we reveal the genuineness of our faith. That's the idea. All right, tribulations result in my persevering, and my persevering does this proven character, and it shows the genuineness of my faith. And that gives me hope. That gives me hope. Proven character, hope. Why? Because as all of this is taking place, I gain a confidence. I am a child of God, and that good things are to come. You see, as we persevere through life's trials and demonstrate the genuineness of our faith, we see the evidence that this genuine evidence that I am a child of God. You see, we demonstrate that through these tribulations. Anybody can say, hey, I'm a Christian. I believe in God and His Son. But we demonstrate the genuineness of that confession as we go through tribulations and continue to persevere. And as we persevere, that proven faith is there. And that results, Paul says, in hope. And then he says, this is interesting, he says hope does not disappoint. Well, what does he mean? He's getting a little wordy. Paul continues to run on, can he? And so it's like, all right, well, what does all of this mean? Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so this love of God made real to me by the Holy Spirit only adds to my hope and my confidence of good things to come. That's the idea. In other words, the Holy Spirit adds to this hope that I have. The greatness of God's love for me. We could say He's throwing gasoline on this fire of hope that we have. And it grows. I have this hope. But as the Spirit is revealing to me the love of God for me, it's like, oh, I'm excited about what's to come. The hope that I have in Jesus Christ because of the love of God for me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Boy, the Spirit plays an important role in our life, doesn't He? revealing, we saw in Ephesians 3, revealing the love of Christ, and here revealing the love of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. Oh, and when we understand that love, it's like somebody coming home for Thanksgiving, and they've been away, and maybe been away for a while, and you know what? They just can't wait to get to home to mom and dad's place, right? Right? They're thinking of the things that they had, and oh, what a hope I have. Knowing of that love. Story, and I told you this story before about some seniors at a nursing home. And they're sitting around talking about all the ailments they have. And one says, my arms have gotten so weak, I can't hardly lift this cup of coffee. Another said, yes, I know, my cataracts are so bad, I can't even see my coffee. Another one said, well, I can't turn my head because of the arthritis in my neck. Another said, my blood pressure pills make me so dizzy, I forget where I am and where I'm going. And another one said, well, I guess that's the price we pay for getting old. And finally, this older lady spoke up and rather cheerfully said, well, count your blessings and thank God we can all still drive. Oh, yeah, there's some blessings in all of this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have all kinds of blessings. And you may have some struggle. Well, we do. I'm not intending in any way to downplay that. But the way to transition and the way to have this Thanksgiving is to focus on what we have been given in Jesus Christ. Not based upon circumstances, but actually affecting our circumstances as we are people of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. We stand in His grace. We exalt in the hope of glory. And we, even as the people of God, can exalt in our tribulations, knowing how God works through them. Count your blessings. This morning, I was at the home and in the kitchen, and people were coming and going, and I'd kind of stop and say, count your blessings. And we just ask them for a blessing or two. Just do that. Just this week, just stop somebody and say, what blessings do you have? What blessings?